I have these friends, Dan and Sheila. Actually, they're podcast hosts.
Welcome to Profiling Criminal Minds. I'm Dan.
And I'm Dr. Redmond.
And we are back for two more episodes of Millennium as we close in on the end of season two. The first of those, of course, is Siren, which opens with a boat of people being illegally shipped from China to Seattle. It gets raided. The captain says to tells the guys to shoot the monster that's chained up in the hold because it's too dangerous for the cops to get a hold of it. But the cops manage to intercept them before they can shoot the monster because they're really worried about doing so. And we find out it's just a woman who's chained up in the hold.
Yes. Well, they assume, yes.
Yeah. Of course, there's more going on here. But the reason I wanted to lay it out so clearly is, tell me your thoughts on this. But, and we can talk about why, we've talked a lot about what a Millennium episode is. Right?
Yeah.
And how it differs from an X-Files episode. Because, you know, every now and then, you know, mostly the Yaponchik episode, you know, the Chernobyl episode, we were like, this could have been an X-Files, you know? Yeah. And there are some who would watch this episode and say, this could have been an X-Files just because of the premise, right? That there's this mysterious woman who, in the world of Millennium, right, she's possessed by a demon. We know what's going on.
Yeah.
She was possessed by a demon 10 years ago, and she's just been, you know, pulling nonsense ever since. Like, we know, because we watch Millennium, what's going on here. But whereas an X-Files episode would be concerned with offering theories and trying to explain what's going on, the difference with a Millennium episode is Millennium is solely concerned with Frank's reaction to this and what it means to him and how we can use this as a way into his character.
And offers us no solution at the end.
Yeah, so then at the end, there is no resolution whatsoever of any kind. I guess this demon's just still out there.
No, the demon is still inside her.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's still out there. Yeah. Like, they just, like, the immigration people just take her away. The end.
Yep.
It's an interesting episode.
Yeah, it's not one of my favorite episodes.
No, but it is just The Last Temptation of Frank Black. Like, that is that's literally what we're watching.
Yeah. This is what I said. Why call it Siren? Just call it The Last Temptation
of Frank Black.
Frank Black, that's immediately what I thought.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%. Like, that's what we're watching here. And that's fine. That's absolutely an interesting idea to broach.
Uh-huh.
Because Frank always spends this time wondering, you know, what if I didn't have to be a martyr to this horrible cause? What if I could just have the pleasant life with my family I've always believed I wanted?
Yeah.
And he pushes back against that. Like, he can't accept that. Because, you know, in the early episode, so there's this woman, and in addition to this woman who was chained up, they find four dead bodies on board.
Yep.
Right? And I really love the rationale. Where the captain says, how could I be like a murderer and a villain? Right? Because they threaten him. They're like, oh, you thought you were just going to do a couple of months, right, for smuggling, but now you've killed all these people, so obviously you're going to jail forever. And he's like, I'm on a boat. If I murdered people, wouldn't I just throw them overboard?
Yeah.
Like, why would I be storing these bodies? Like, that is actually pretty inescapable logic.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
explains that he kept them to take them back to China.
Yeah, like, these are members of my crew. I was going to bring them back to their families to be buried, because that's what you do. Yeah, I really liked his inescapable logic that, well, yeah, you would just throw the bodies overboard, wouldn't you? And so they do an autopsy on them, and it turns out these guys died of hypothermia.
Yeah.
Right? Right? From the exposure, from just being standing out in the cold all night long, over and over again until they died. And so, like, well, how exactly did that happen is the big question. And then we get the story of how this woman ended up on the boat.
Yeah.
And Sima, the captain, remembers her being literally just like whispering to her. Because it's the idea is they use the term siren. You can hear her song and find it, you know, impossible to resist.
Yes.
Right. And so he's like, he heard this voice right next to him. Even though there was no one around, and he flashed the light, the floodlights out, and he saw this woman on this tiny boat out in the middle of the ocean, and he had to rescue her, and of course everything has gone to hell since. But that's not how anybody else remembers her getting on board.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, everybody else has a different story of how she ended up on board. Right. And the first one to fall victim was a guy who, you know, was always kind of a ladies' man, always looking to get over. And they thought, oh, she was with him. And he would come on to her and they heard mysterious sounds. And then he was frozen to death one morning.
Yep.
And then it happened again and again. And finally, they had to lock her away because he realized she was the problem. But we never get a straight answer about how she got on this boat.
No, we don't kind of, and it's as if, well, we know that immigration doesn't take it seriously.
Of course.
Nobody takes this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she's in the hospital.
And that's where our characters, because like, this is not a Millennium Group type of situation.
No, this is not
at all.
This is Catherine and Jordan.
Yes. Oh, what a great way to get them into the story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Jordan, you know, is waiting for her mother, wanders off. Again, hears the siren's call.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is, though, that somehow or another, she wanted to get a drink of water. So she was supposed to go left at the end of the hall.
Yep.
And she doesn't. She goes right because the water fountain, for some reason, is now on the right.
Mm-hmm.
As she walks down towards it.
Because, and again, this it's a little hint in that there is something about this woman that changes your perception of reality.
Yeah.
Jordan not seeing where the, you know, like not correctly being able to identify where the water fountain is no different than all of these guys having this different story about how she ended up on the boat. Yeah. You know, it's all like... all of reality shifts around this woman for some reason. Well, yes. Again, to draw you to her is the answer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. I mean, it's a really fantastic setup in this episode. It's very clever. It's done in a very subtle fashion.
Yes. You get little hints.
Yeah.
At the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then it just, the evidence piles up as the episode draws on.
Yep.
Yeah. Then we have a truly wonderful thing because we are told by Jordan that this woman is going to save Frank's life.
Yes.
And so Frank needs to get involved.
Well, Catherine needs to help.
Yes.
Her.
Has to help this woman because she's going to save Frank.
Catherine. I tell you, this is the episode where you are the least sympathetic towards Catherine.
I know.
She just, you know, she speaks differently. Now, maybe she's been affected by this girl as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't ever see her really interacting with the girl.
No.
She just goes and picks her file and she brings it to Frank. And obviously she has to have been affected by this girl because she has no idea why she's bringing it to Frank.
Nope.
And it takes so long to tell him about Jordan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but she's very reticent in involving Jordan in the world of his mysticism. And she is afraid of what it means that Jordan has his gift. So it's like not wanting to tell him. I think that's in character for her.
Well, it might be in character, but she's so... what can I say? She's shown not ever getting to the point.
It's true. That is absolutely true.
You know, it's just like you're sitting there waiting for Catherine. Will you get
let him know. Like, let him know the important piece of information. The key piece of information, in fact.
Because she's not good. She's not going to do this. He's not going to particularly do this. Mm-hmm. He's just a Chinese orbit until Catherine tells him.
Him the significance of it. Oh, and it's notable that... Laura was there working with Frank when Catherine showed up.
Uh-huh.
And they were working on a case, and it's not an important case. It's not something we've seen or talked about before or after, but it is where Frank believes all signs point to a cop staging something to look like a one kind of death when really it's another. So, just, you know, him being skeptical about cops is always nice. It's going to be a big part of the next episode. Frank doesn't like cops.
Well, the next episode is a different kettle of fish.
A completely different kettle of fish.
You know, we'll get there, of course. But this one was, I don't know. You know, it was so, because Frank goes to see her, right? Yeah. And then... You know, she's talking.
Yeah.
Because Catherine has taped her. Catherine has gone in.
And this is the key.
As the worker to talk to her.
No one can identify the language she's speaking.
Yes.
They think it's an Asian language, but they have no idea which one it is.
Yes. And so Catherine has taped it all when she starts to talk, and nobody can understand it.
Yeah.
And Frank goes to see her, and she starts talking to Frank.
In English.
English.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, he's also taping it, but he hears English. And, you know, she says to him, but you can understand me. You're hearing English.
Oh, no. He says, you speak English, and she says, you understand English.
Yes.
Because she is speaking whatever she speaks, but she has chosen to make it so he can understand her.
Yeah.
That's the key.
And so he offers her the temptation.
She offers him.
Yeah, she offers him the temptation of a life without the Millennium Group. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is just one more attempt to get Frank out of
the game.
Game.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, okay, Frank goes.
And we see, you know, weeks of his life of Frank Black, who is a guy working with running a super successful investigative consulting firm out of Seattle for Fortune 500 companies, living back in the Yellow House with his happy family and their dog.
And he wakes up in the morning because he's still aware that this is the
That is
option.
Not true. Yes.
Yes. This is the option. So he asks her who he is, and she explains it all, Catherine.
Yeah.
You know, and he's going, nah, that's not me.
But, so he tries to reach out to Peter Watts, who, of course, you know, pretends that the Millennium Group doesn't exist. And
he has no idea who Frank is.
Yep. It's a very nice scene. Like, seeing the Millennium Group how other people see the Millennium Group. Yeah. Letting us into that a little. I thought that was a very nice touch. Right. He has people looking into it, and he refuses. He's like, you know, he refuses to look the other way. Like, he can't accept it. And he wakes up on the side of the road in the middle of the night, suffering from hypothermia.
Yeah, he's driving away, and all of a sudden he basically just everything becomes hazy. He gets out of the car. Mm-hmm. He tries to stop things, and you think he's stopped things and he's gotten back into the car. That's what we see.
Yep.
But we're obviously seeing what Frank is seeing or thinks he's doing.
Yeah.
But the next time we look, right, there's the EMTs, et cetera, picking up Frank. He's suffering from hypothermia. He gets taken to the hospital. He's at the hospital. And he has to leave. In the meantime, they have decided...
But it is important to note that at this moment, we realize how she had killed all those people. She had trapped them in these fantasy worlds. And while they were living out these fantasy lives, they were just standing on the deck of a boat in the freezing cold until they died.
Yep. And that's why, the captain and the rest of his crew would find them, bring them back in, warm them up.
But they go right back out the next night.
They go right back out. And so there's Frank, at the hospital. And we've already known this. So Frank's in the hospital.
Yep.
And he's getting ready to leave.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking all of the bandages off his fingers, which have been frozen.
Yep.
And he's going to leave. Catherine comes and he says, I've got to see her again. I've got to see her again. And Catherine says, no, she's been sent back. There's nothing wrong with her.
Yeah, so she's just in the camp.
She's been sent back to the camp.
Yeah, the refugee camp.
And in there, the detention.
Detention facility, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. It doesn't matter what they call it. It's a bunch of tents next to the docks.
Mm-hmm. So...
At the docks, the crew of the ship is planning to find a way to kill her.
Yes.
Because she's too dangerous to let live, which I'm like, okay, I see where they're coming from.
Yeah, we understand this. We've been watching it.
Yep.
and so they, the one, the captain gets headphones.
Yeah.
So they can't hear her and music for them to listen to.
Yeah.
So that under no circumstances will they be affected by her
song.
Yeah.
By the literal siren's song.
Yes. So, what happens then?
Oh my God.
Bound and determined to get to see her again.
Mm-hmm. And
he certainly seems like he's not in control of his actions.
Yep.
For sure.
And he tries to prove, because Laura Means shows up to try and, stop Frank from doing this insane thing. And he shows that he can prove that she was, a demonic entity making an offer to him by playing his audio tape of their interaction. But of course, in their interaction, she is speaking the same nonsense language she always speaks. And we're only hearing his side of the conversation.
Yes.
And Laura's like, how can you understand her? And he's like, ugh. She wasn't, she allowed me to understand her.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
English.
Yeah, because she wasn't actually speaking English. I just thought she was. Oh, man. Even though she said what she was doing, if Frank had just believed her.
Yeah, well, and that's where the confusion comes in, because you don't exactly know why he wants to go back and see her. It doesn't seem as if he's going to turn this away.
Yeah.
He's turned this offer away.
Mm-hmm.
But he almost has to go and tell her.
Yeah. Tell her that he's turning it down.
That's really what happens.
Yeah.
In the meantime, the men have decided to surround her and they're going to kill her. One of the headphones gets knocked off from one of the men. The other men, and they are going to succeed, except that Frank shows up.
Yep. Driving the car right through the gates of the camp.
Yep.
And the question is, was she summoning Frank to save her?
Yeah.
Like,
we don't know.
We don't know. The show, because then Frank gets ushered away. Frank gets ushered away by Laura. She gets ushered away by the authorities. And he is left knowing that she had nothing real to offer him. right? That it was a trick, that it was a game, that she had nothing real to offer him. But the fact is, we are left with the idea that she knew that these guys were going to try to kill her, and she needed Frank to come and save her and protect her.
It's not just that. When he starts to talk to her and they're all talking to her, she just seems like a normal girl who had been, like, there's no sense
of the monster anymore.
Because we've seen her the way she looks. And it's as if the monster is gone and Frank can't feel the monster, which is amazing.
Yep.
There's just this. And then you see her being taken away. She looks back and she's got that look in her face again.
Mm-hmm.
So we know Frank doesn't see that. We know. And so the demon is still there.
Yep. And
Frank has rejected this last temptation. Now. Yep. You know, that's how we understand it.
But we're left with the open question, was Frank Black, just manipulated into protecting a demon?
Yeah.
And he might have been, because the show is maddeningly unclear.
Yes. And,
any of this means.
The whole business that she told Jordan, right, just to get everything going.
Exactly.
You know, that she tells Jordan that she's going to save her father's life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it could easily have been just the opposite, that she knew what was going to happen.
Yep. And she needed Frank to save her. And she manipulated Jordan and everybody.
But I think the offer was real.
Oh, no, I do. Yes. I think the offer from hell was real.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say.
His whole life. I mean, mm-hmm. we know they keep coming at him one way or another. For some reason, they can't kill him.
Yeah.
And whether that's his cynicism
mm-hmm.
or what it is, it's the business, maybe the fact that the angels are protecting him. We now know that whether Frank fully understands it, he is not getting hell, protection from hell.
No.
And even though the angels say they're all collateral damage or collateral pluses, it would appear that somehow or another, outside the rules, and when that angel killed the demon way back when,
mm-hmm.
that was probably, you don't break the rules.
Yeah, that was very clear.
Yes. And killing Frank would, I'm beginning to think, break the rules.
In some way, it does seem that way, yes.
Yeah. Even though he is not possessed by an angel or anything.
No.
None of these people are possessed by angels.
No.
It's
fascinating.
It is fascinating. You know, it leaves you so kind of unsettled. But you do understand that Frank cannot go back, whether he thinks he wants to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he gets offered an option,
he always turns it down.
He always turns it down.
Mm-hmm. And that's fundamentally who Frank is. Like, he can't stop being this warrior for what's right. No matter what the cost is to his family, and spoiler alert, it's a lot.
Yeah. And it will get to be more because he just, you know.
He can't stop doing the right thing about this.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's an interesting episode.
It's interesting. It's extraordinarily depressing at one level.
Yes, it is.
You know.
Is it ever.
Particularly since, of course, we know the demon is still inside her.
Yep. Worth noting, there is a nice part at the opening, which we didn't talk about, where he tries to go down to find out about the boat. And they're like, no, you're not a cop. You can't just show up Right? You can't just show up and ask about a boat and a woman who was on the boat. And so he has to, like, go and get Bob to investigate. Yeah. Because once they find the bodies on the boat, well, it's like, okay, well, now I can go and get Bob and just insert myself into the investigation.
Yeah, they would have let him in if he'd been part of the millennial
group. Exactly. But he's not saying this is a millennium group situation, so they won't let him in. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice moment. All right, now... In Arcadia Ego, I am in heaven. Now, this is an episode of television.
This was...
I mean, defy you not to weep at the end of this episode.
Oh. It was so sad. And at least it ends...
Okay, but we'll get there.
Well, I was just going to say, not how it ends, but at least there is sort of a positive end to this after you just feel.
It's a rough 40 minutes getting to that ending. Yeah.
And even then, there are still questions, but
we'll
talk about that when we get to the ending. Mm-hmm. But this is, you know, you don't know what's going on. For a huge amount of the episode. Mind you, at the beginning, when these female convicts, these are two female convicts, they escape.
Well, what's great is, so in a bizarre, delightful meta moment, it opens with a guard at a women's prison watching a terrible women in prison film. And I like that moment.
Yes. Well, you know, there are more female guards now.
Yes, but we're not talking about now, are we?
No, we're not.
This is an episode that is really, really bleak in its depiction of sexual assault in prison, in women's prisons by guards. It's just like, it's a fact of life that guards are assaulting women.
Yeah, it was horrible.
Yeah, you know, it's bleak.
You know, and the cop who just, well, you know.
Boys will be boys.
Yeah, boys will be boys. Oh, my God. You know, I mean, it was so bleak in that sense. But you have these two women.
Mm-hmm. Sunny and Jeanette.
And don't understand. Don't, you know.
Get out. They have to break out, and we don't know the details of it right away. So we see them grab a guard, and, you know, steal his uniform, and then attack the other guard, the one we saw at the start watching the film. And so they make him strip as well, right, to steal his uniform as well. And it turns out he has a gun, right, strapped to his ankle, and he shoots Jeanette.
Yeah,
and she falls down, and Sunny, the older woman, beats him to death with his club after he shot Jeanette. But it turns out Jeanette's fine. The bullet hit the badge on the uniform she was in the middle of putting on. And as she says to Sunny, this is proof positive that I can't be killed. Like, do you believe me now?
She doesn't quite say that. She shows Sunny...
the bullet.
She shows Sunny the form the bullet has taken.
But we don't know that yet. She shows the bullet. She said this bullet was supposed to kill me, and she shows it to Sunny, but we don't see it yet.
If you look, like, I went back, because we do see that at the beginning, but it's very...
It's so faint you can't possibly understand the significance.
Very hard to see it, because I went back and I stopped.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. We get two close-ups of the bullet in the last act of the episode, and that's when you're supposed to understand the significance of it. A person watching this on television for the first time isn't supposed to understand the significance of the bullet yet.
No. Except that whatever happened on the bullet...
Yeah, has proven to her.
Is proof to Jeanette...
Yeah. You know, that she can't be killed.
Sunny. She just said, Sunny, I told you.
Yeah. That bullet was supposed to kill me. Now, do you believe me? She believes she can't be killed. And we don't know why yet, but we'll find out soon enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, yes, you're right that there is a microsecond shot of what is on the bullet. mm-hmm. in this at the start. But we are not supposed to understand what's on the bullet yet.
Well, so I was not including that. Even doing what I did,
mm-hmm. you can't really see what it means.
Really see, you can tell that there's an image and a face, but...
No, I don't think you can even in the. I mean, if you go back and pause it, sure. But I don't think watching it, you can...
No, watching it, you would never see it.
That's my point. So you can't say that this is information that the audience is supposed to have figured out.
Oh, no. And even after I watched it, right?
It's debatable. Yeah.
It's. I don't know what this image is, what it's supposed to mean.
At this point in the episode. I can't
make it because it's not clear enough.
No, it's definitely not. So, we cut to the next day. Frank has been called in to consult on finding these prisoners. Because, again, he's one of the... He is a roving freelance forensic profiler. And so he is absolutely... The Millennium Group will get called in, but they haven't been called in yet. Or, the weird part is, it's because Peter Watts shows up. So, I think... He's there because the Millennium Group sent him, but as part of their regular consulting work. Not as part of their, this is a mission Frank needs to be on. I think the Millennium Group got called because they're the specialists in all sorts of, strange things, and Frank is their forensic profiler, is my suggestion. And so we see this hunt happening. Frank shows up at the prison, and he sees that there is a powder burn on the floor from when the guy fired his ankle gun. Mm-hmm. And the sheriff is like, yeah, I didn't put that in the report. The dead guard probably had according to his friends, he always kept a .22 ankle gun in his holster. Obviously I left that out of the port because, his family's going to be getting benefits and I don't want to complicate things. I'm still covering for this awful guy, even after he's dead.
Yeah.
Even after he's dead, I'm still covering for this awful guy. Because that's what you do. And so we find out that they've been... we hear that they've been spotted. And so we do this little hunt. Right? Because they found where the car had been ditched.
Yep. Right? That was funny.
Oh. And they Frank is like saying... You can't be shooting these people, right? And then he hears a gun go off in the woods. And it turns out some kids had found the abandoned car and put on the prison jackets and almost got shot to death for it.
Yep.
And Frank is, of course, not at all happy with, to be working with assassins, basically. Because
that's what he calls them.
Yeah, he calls them assassins because they were looking to kill these people because they had killed a prison guard. And so, they were just looking to kill the two escapees no matter what. The goal that the cops would be happy with is if these two women don't make it back to prison.
Yep.
That is 100% what they would prefer. And Frank is not on board with that.
Yep.
So, all right, then things get wonderful because we find out that they kidnapped a man, right? We find this out because we see the guy in the backseat of their car, of the car they've stolen. Because they drive to this house. But there's no one who Jeanette is 100% sure the people here are going to help them.
Yeah,
and Sonny's they're not home. The car's not there. So what the hell are they supposed to do? And Sonny's like, have you actually talked to these people? How can you possibly know? And Jeanette is just like, I do. I know that these people are going to help us. They're going to be here for us. But they have no evidence of that. And then we see that they've got a guy tied up in the back of his car. Oh man, so he gets they leave him, right? They leave him on the side of the road somewhere and the cops pick him up.
No.
Oh no.
He's the guy that ends up in the
Oh yes.
The bathtub in the hotel.
In the bathtub in the motel, yes. Yeah, they put him in the motel as they go to do, you're right, as they go to do the doctor's appointment. They leave him in the bathtub and the cops get called because the women are spotted and they find him in the bathtub. You're right, they were going to keep him with them until they were done.
Well, they didn't want to kill him or anything.
No.
Because we've already had the initial discussion about who Sonny is.
Yes.
And who Jeanette is. And Sonny, I mean, this is why Frank is convinced that
they're not a threat.
Killed. They're not a threat. Mm-hmm. Because Sonny, the people that Sonny killed, yes, they were all men.
Yeah.
But they were horrible,
abusers.
Evil, abusive men.
Yeah, her stepfather who was molesting her little sister, and then her husband who beat her so badly she had a miscarriage.
Yeah. And we see all of these, right?
Yeah.
We see all of these, the pictures, like when, with mm-hmm. the police.
Of how badly brutalized she was on the night she killed her husband.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, you've got these two women, and Frank sees all of this and says they're not a threat. Sonny only kills when she's protecting someone. Who is she protecting and why? Well, she's protecting Jeanette,
mm-hmm.
but why is she protecting Jeanette? So, yeah. And it doesn't make sense because the warden says, but Sonny was going to be out in 4 months.
Yeah.
So this, you know, Frank is going, but this doesn't make any sense because the sheriff says, but the warden had said, by all accounts, they were perfectly happy together. They were. They had not caused any trouble whatsoever.
Yep.
They were fine. So, nope. This is a big shock, basically.
That of all people, these two would be the one to try a breakout. No one saw it coming.
No. No one saw it coming. So, then they go to the hospital. And the baby is, you can, you know, they do the amniocentesis for the baby. And the nurse goes out to talk to the doctor, to bring the doctor back, because you can tell there's a problem.
Yeah. Oh, on her face alone. It's very clear.
Yeah. You know, but you see Sonny outside at the same time. Like, this is going back and forth. Sonny's outside.
Sees on the newspaper that the guard they beat up died.
Yes. And so we are sort of thinking that the nurse is off to report them. That's not what she's doing.
No.
Getting the doctor to bring the doctor back.
But Sonny can't risk it, so she drags Jeanette out of there.
Yeah, she drags Jeanette out of there, and so we go back again, right? What happens then is that they are reported, and they find the motel room, the cops.
Yep.
And in the motel room, they find the guy, and the guy's going, yeah, but she's pregnant.
Yeah. And this is how Frank finds out.
Yeah, this is how Frank and everybody else finds out.
Yeah.
He's pregnant.
That Jeanette is pregnant.
Yes. And so this explains why Sonny is
so protective. Pregnant. Yeah.
So protective. Frank goes to the jail cell. Mm-hmm. And what we don't know the importance of is this thing with the path.
Yeah.
Follow the path. Right?
Mm-hmm. That they have written that, yeah, on the bookmark. Bible. Yeah.
There's a bookmark in the Bible that says follow the path.
Yep.
You know, and then, so they're trying, these two women are trying desperately, right? So Frank's trying to figure out where they're going. He figures out, he works out the house because he says they are not running away. They're hanging around. Why are they hanging around?
Yep.
They do, you know, some geographic profiling again. And they do look at these houses. They look at this one house. And when Frank looks inside the window, you see this picture of the Madonna and the phrase, follow the path.
Follow the path on it. Yeah.
So this, now you can make those two connections that this is why the two of them went there.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah, because, we'll find out more about that.
Well, we'll later on. But now, Frank is going,
Frank has a connection.
Frank is making all of these connections, and then he has to figure out, because he doesn't want the trigger happy sheriff as
to find them first. So, and this is the key part. So they talk to the various guards. They look at the records of the various guards, and it turns out one of the guards got fired from his last job for sexually assaulting female inmates, and yet was still able to get another job.
Well, because it's not a serious crime to them.
Exactly. To them.
Oh, it was. I mean,
and we find out. Yeah. And we find out that it's like, why would these women not have reported the sexual assault? And we find out it's because Jeanette didn't know it happened. She had her wisdom teeth out and was out cold for an hour. And he got left alone with her and he raped her while she was still unconscious.
Yes.
So she has no idea. And Frank realizes she is convinced that this is a virgin birth.
Yeah.
She is convinced that she is bearing the second coming of Christ.
Yeah.
Because she knows she never had sex with a man. And yet she's pregnant. And it is undeniable. And the fact that she got shot and was saved has only convinced her further of the holiness of her pregnancy.
Yes. And convinced Sunny.
Also convinced Sunny of it. Yes. And that was the key word. She already believed completely. But you're right. Sunny has now also been convinced.
Yeah. Completely convinced after she has seen the image on the bullet, even though we still
haven't. We don't know the significance of that yet.
On the bullet.
Here's where it gets great. So they go through Sunny's history and find out that she is, used to work at the rail lines.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Peter Watts is like, you'd think she would hop a train. And Frank's like, looks at the various places the trains are going. He's like, you know, Calgary. Yeah, that sounds about right. You'd want to get out of America as fast as possible. So he heads down there. He doesn't tell the cops about it because he doesn't want them getting shot. Now that he's 100% sure that they would never hurt anyone and that they believe themselves to be on a holy mission, he is, you know, more sure than ever he doesn't want them harmed. Right? Yep. So he goes down there himself and Sonny captures him. But Frank is bringing some bad news that they got from the doctor, which is the way the baby is placed and the way the placenta is placed, if she tries to deliver outside of a hospital, she will bleed. Jeanette will bleed to death and the baby will probably not survive.
Yeah. The baby is, you know, there's a good, what it is there's a good chance the baby will not survive.
Yeah. And Jeanette will definitely die.
So they want to, so the idea is she's got to go to the hospital. Mm-hmm. They're in a car. It takes Frank.
They're in a box car.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking to them. They're not paying attention. So of course, but he knows about pregnancies because he's had a daughter. Why he doesn't tell them?
Yeah.
Look, you know.
I've been through this.
I'm a father. Mm-hmm. You know, but we'll ignore that little slip.
Yeah.
And, you know, so then what we see, of course, is that not the horrible sheriff.
No.
But the other cops, the state cops.
The state cops.
Either who's the head of the state cops also figures out.
Well, he specifically looks, he notices that Frank has disappeared and he looks at the last piece of paper Frank was looking at before he disappeared and he sees the rail schedule and he's like, oh, this makes sense. Okay.
Because he also looks at Sonny's work record.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And so he goes, so he takes the whole business, snipers the works to the train yards, and Peter Watt is there.
Peter Watts there and explains the situation that they believe this is a, like, they don't know about the assault. They believe this is a virgin birth. He tries to say what Frank would have explained, which is they are not a threat. Don't start opening fire.
Yeah.
And now it just becomes a hostage situation where Frank is trying to negotiate with them to listen to the, like, to get Jeanette help. Right. Sonny won't let anyone in because it's too dangerous. Frank proves that he's on their side because Sonny looks out to see what's going on and the sniper's about to take her head off with a bullet. And Frank says they will shoot at anything they can see. Get away from the window.
The door.
Sorry. Yeah. Get away from the door. Obviously, it's a door.
There's no windows.
There's no windows. It's a boxcar. But yes, so Frank is definitely proves he's on their side, which is nice.
Yep. So yeah. She unties him, Sunny unties him, and then he helps.
He helps deliver the baby with the help of the doctor who's on Frank's cell phone.
Yes. And in the meantime, they've been doing sort of DNA analysis of everybody who works
at the prison, you know, specifically the rapist has confessed to raping her.
Yes.
And what does Peter Watts find?
Nothing.
No match. He is 100% not the father of this baby.
And neither are any of the
men who are working at the prison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
So Frank manages to deliver this baby. There's a little girl. And Jeanette dies. And there is not a dry eye in the house.
No. It's so sad.
Oh, and then Jeanette goes outside.
Yeah.
To get shot as well. And reaches into her pocket something so she'll get shot. And yep. She gets shot, and they made the choice to have her, like, not fall over after being shot to death, but in fact, you know, drop to her knees in kind of a praying call it a martyr's pose.
Yep.
And what was she reaching for in her pocket that falls out of her hand? The flattened bullet, which we finally get a 3-second long good look at. Yeah. And it's a woman's face in the middle of the bullet.
It's the same, but it's
the same one.
Follow the path.
That was on the window.
Yeah. In this house.
Yep. And Frank, meanwhile, is just sitting in the boxcar holding the baby. So we go to the hospital.
Jeanette has said, you have to find her a good home.
Of course. And so we find out at the hospital that Jeanette's family have no interest in the baby. And so social services is going to have to figure out where to take it. And so Peter Watts says, social services have said that they are open to suggestions on that front.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very nice.
Yes.
So we cut back to the house.
Yeah.
And
the couple are home now.
And the couple are finally home. And
Frank talks to them.
And it turns out that these two have prayed by name. Like, they make it part of their practice of their church. They are church leaders of some kind. We don't find out any details about their church.
Nope.
But they pray by name for every woman in that prison.
Yes.
And that Sunny and Jeanette are the ones that they have, you know, felt closest to.
Yes. And they know that there's something special about her.
Yep.
And so Frank brings them out.
And shows them the baby.
The social worker
yeah.
gets out of the car with the baby, and the woman, the wife, goes running to the baby.
And, it's such a wonderful ending.
You know, and this couple are going to adopt this baby.
Mm-hmm. And Frank looks in through the window, and he looks at the sign that says, follow the path, and he looks at the bullet, so the audience can't possibly not understand what's going on here. We get one more long shot.
Yes.
Oh, so, and that's the end. The second coming of Christ has happened. It's a little girl, and it's going to be raised by this religious family.
Yes, and it is Mary.
Yeah.
Who has protected this mm-hmm. baby.
Exactly.
Through their,
an episode.
Yeah, it was.
Frank literally delivers the second coming of Christ in this episode. That's what happens in this episode. Oh, it's amazing.
I mean, that's what's really interesting about this. They are female, and it's a female child, which actually, if you look at animals who actually do
parthenogenesis, it could only ever be a baby girl because you would have the person doesn't have a Y chromosome to give to the baby.
Yeah, so the baby has to be female.
Yeah.
These are, never mind.
But that's not what we're not talking about parthenogenesis here.
No, this is
very explicit what is going on here.
Yes.
This is a miracle. We have borne witness to a miracle, and the Christ child has been reborn in the world right before the millennium.
Yeah.
And one thing that worried me about the that it's like, from a production standpoint, you completely understand why they did it. But I just love the panic that was obviously there for the director and the producers. They're like, okay, we know the audience doesn't read. We know the audience doesn't listen. How can we make it 100% clear that this is not the baby of the guard who raped this woman? They're like, okay, well, we'll make it a black guard and have the baby be the blondest, blue-eyedest baby in the world. Yeah. So, like, even the audience who has even the most casual amount of paying attention, right, will understand what's going on. And then they're like, yeah, but now we've just got a black guy as the rapist in this episode. God, we do, don't we? Okay, so the couple who's going to raise the child are also a black couple. Like, the religious family is also a black... Boom. Okay, problem solved.
And, but what was so interesting, right, at one point is, if these people are so attuned to Sunny and Jeanette, why didn't they stay home?
Well, they didn't know when it was going to happen.
That's true. They didn't know when it was
like,
going to happen.
Like, no one knows the hour of his coming. It's right there.
Yes, I know.
No one can know the hour of his coming. That's it's right there in the text.
Yes.
But it's quite an, like, it is the most nakedly religious episode they've done in a while. Maybe ever.
This is the most.
Because, I mean, there is Christian apocrypha stuff with the thing of the cross and the hand of Saint Sebastian. But this is an entire episode that is just about the Jesus and Mary and Joseph story.
Yep.
It is a retelling. Yeah. It is a retelling of the birth of Christ. Right?
Yeah, Frank could be Joseph.
No, I think it makes Sonny Joseph, and Frank is the wise man.
Okay, Frank is the wise man.
Yeah. There are three wise men characters, Frank and the two people who adopt it.
Yes.
You know, that's, there's Ed Lauder, right?
Yes.
As King Herod, who's going to murder this child.
Yes.
Who's going to murder the two women and the child. Like, that's...
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Okay. Like, it's a very clear analogy happening.
Okay. And here, you missed one part.
Oh, please.
Because Ed Lauder, evil sheriff.
The evil sheriff. Yeah.
Okay. The evil sheriff is, or the other sheriff, go get your EMT disguises on, right?
Yeah, I know.
Right? And he sends these two EMT. Sonny's going to let them in. And Frank says, no.
Nope.
You get their bags first and you check them out.
Yeah.
And sure enough, right? This is what finally convinces her totally and 100%. That
Frank's on their side.
Frank's on their side because she opens up the first bag and sure enough, she empties it and there's a gun there.
Yep. Because it was just a trick.
It's just a trick. And Frank knows what these evil assassins are going to do.
Of course.
Yes. So Frank has saved the baby from King Herod. Didn't have to go to Egypt.
No.
So, it is a wonderful retelling of the story.
Yeah.
You know? And it was so sad, you know.
Sad when Sonny dies.
Yes, that was so well.
So well shot. It's so beautifully made.
That actress was just
amazing.
Amazing. She really was.
She's amazing in this part. Like, both of them are great, but Sonny is just this next level performance.
Yes, it is. She is in, Jeanette is carrying the baby, but it is Sonny.
Yep, who goes through all of this.
is the key. She is the believer. She takes care. Mm-hmm. She protects. And she will die.
Yeah.
At the end. Because there is nothing anymore for her.
No. She has completed her role. Yes, of protecting. Yes. Of like protecting and shepherding this baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good episode.
Yeah, it's a really good episode. It's solid. They've managed to do it.
Yeah.
You know, and and they managed to work around all of these different issues.
Yeah.
And so we're happy at the end of this episode.
I just think it's a really good episode.
This episode is the only episode I think we've had where it is very clear at the end.
Yeah.
What happened, mm-hmm. what, and all the rest of it. Whether you don't have to believe it. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point that they believe it and that this is the case. Mm-hmm. And the show is telling you right up front.
Yep.
Straight up. That the second coming has occurred. Now, the only thing that I would say is that this then puts sort of a kibosh to the millennium itself because just a baby and she has to grow and mm-hmm. she has to become older and before she can. So she has to be at least 30, 35 before if you follow the mythology, mm-hmm. right? Going to have to be around
before she can come into her own and start preaching the gospel of her father.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that means that whatever is going to happen in the year 2000 is not going to be the final apocalypse. It can't. And that's all there is to it. It just can't be because the baby is only going to be about a year old at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Or 2 years, maybe. Going through the terrible twos. And in the Apocrypha, of course, there's all sorts of weird stories about Jesus in his
youth, yes.
You know, in his childhood. And I'm going, yeah, well, those were the terrible twos. And those were the, you know.
Accidentally using his powers to kill somebody and then bring them back from the dead.
Alive, and the birds and all the other things. So this was a really nice episode.
It really is.
I am so glad that they chose not to leave it hanging.
No. This is a very solid resolution at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And so, because that's what the episode deserved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you feel so sorry for Sunny and Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever else is going to happen, well, doesn't matter.
Well, they got them there. That's the important part.
Yes.
Like they served their part.
Yes.
They served their role and they accomplished it. It's just a beautiful episode. It is really wonderful. All right. So next week, we're going to be watching Anamnesis. Have you been wanting Catherine and Laura to team up? That's finally going to happen.
Yep.
Catherine Lore episode, and then followed by A Room with No View, season 2, episode 20. Have you wondered what Lucy Butler's been up to?
You will find out.
You're going to find that out.
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm very excited for
the next two episodes.
They're very interesting episodes, but more importantly, they're the last two episodes we have to watch before we get to talk about Somehow Satan Got Behind Me.
And the second one is also top rated. It's in the 8.2% range.
I'm not surprised. Like it's these are both very good episodes, but it's just, you know, Somehow Satan Got Behind Me.
Yeah, I know.
Widely considered to be the best episode of Millennium.
Yeah.
One of the last episodes of television Darren Morgan wrote. Like, it's quite exciting. Yeah. All right. But for now, if you have any questions, if you have any comments, if there's any profiling-related fiction you'd like us to check out, Drop us a line at profilingcriminalminds@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. If you are listening to this on an app or podcatcher, please be sure to rate and review. That's how people find out about the show. We're going to see you back here next week for those episodes. But until then, I'll say that's right. Au revoir.
Have a good week.